right, everybody, it's time for a brand new episode of Twin Banter!
Woo!
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed. Today on the show, Gone Girl, Gotham, Selfie, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sleepy Hollow, maybe like 5 seconds about Boardwalk Empire, and a bunch of other television stuff, and maybe a few movies, who knows, whatever.
Pepe the Chihuahua.
Pepe the Chihuahua makes an appearance, not in person. Sadly.
I wish.
All that and more. I'm your host, watching out for those weather balloons, Richard. Over there, where one is the loneliest number, it's Jason.
Be as bad as me.
The loneliest number. It's the number. Inventing a Benjamin Franklinstein, it's Michael!
Yes!
Benstein!
And flashing back to his days as a simple Atlantic City bellboy, it's Chris.
Yeah!
You had to get that one, Chris, because of your voice.
Chris Kinzel is being played by Squeaky Teen Voice. Squeaky voice team from The Simpsons.
Huh, so yes, let's get to it.
All right, Rebels, Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, so okay. Yes, there were a lot of the eye rolling parts.
Boy, howdy.
It's Star Wars.
Towards the end, especially.
Michael.
Overall, I think I'm going to keep watching it just because I want to see what happens. I want to say it this way. I wasn't crazy about it, but there were also a lot of Clone Wars stories I weren't crazy about. I wasn't crazy about either.
Yeah. So,
but then there were a lot that I really liked. Yes. So.
Interest rates, the best thing ever.
That's the
only reason.
It's true, though.
That's the reason I'm watching Clone Wars all the way through is to get to that.
Me and Horseshoe John Horseshoe are actually just talking about, like, you know.
Wait,
like
who?
Horseshoe.
Okay, Horseshoe John Horseshoe.
Like, the episode where they have to go, like, into the Banking Clan's vault to steal something, and how we were, like, so pissed because there was this Darth Maul story that was never animated, so they made it into a comic, and I was like, why didn't they animate that and throw out the stupid Banking Clan story?
There's this video, like, full of stuff they never animated. I'm like, well, those sound like great stories. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you do those episodes instead of these other ones I heard about that were shitty?
I don't know. I mostly agree with you, Chris, except it was, like, the opposite way that I saw it. I thought it got better as it went along. I think the very, very beginning stuff was really kind of boring.
No, like, I agree with that to a point. I just meant kind of the end where he had the obvious, like, Force vision.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, the Force stuff in this, like, if you don't get that this kid's Force sensitive, then you're an idiot, so I don't know why,
That was a big reveal?
Sort of. Well, it's a big reveal to their characters.
Yeah, I mean, I read about that, and, yeah.
I just felt like I had to pick this thing up. I was like, oh my god.
Improved once they got off of the main planet, or I guess the planet they start on. I think the animation even improved. I think they really do need to revise the color palette, because a lot of the colors are fucking garish.
Really?
Yeah, like that. The main kid's outfit's got to change in season 2, guys.
Is it all orange and
it
tan?
It is, like, bright orange with, like, blue boots like a red vest and then, like, neon blue hair. Which I'm assuming is meant to be, like, comic book black.
That's a bright blue.
Yeah.
In animation, you can make black.
I mean, he's a humanoid, so I don't know if he's meant to be, like...
I mean, Snow White doesn't have that color hair.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if any of the characters have dyed hair except the little Mandalorian, like, punk rocker chick character. Who actually was not, like, the horrible, like, Mary Sue insert character I thought she was going to be. I really thought she was going to be, like... Hey, nerds, here's everything you like that's like a big cliche of things you like.
I remember reading
like
a description.
Asuna from Sword Art Online.
I read a description of her, and they said, she likes colors and likes to paint rebel signs all over everything. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was definitely the most eye-rolling of the pre-production stuff, but they gave it a purpose because it turns out that her street tags are essentially made of nitroglycerin, so they're bombs.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it does serve a purpose other than, you know, trying really hard to be edgy in that late 80s, early 90s kind of, like, whatever. Which, by the way, if you guys haven't seen her armor in full, like, it looks like a Lisa Frank notebook.
That's awesome.
Like, it's got, like, this big, like, fuchsia, like, crazy painted thing on one piece of shoulder armor, and the other one's, like, a wild checkboard and stuff.
That's a good description.
It's pretty funny. But I don't know how old she's supposed to be, but I don't know. The little kid, Ezra Bridger, has, like, a crush on her or something, I guess.
And he's 14.
Is he 14? Do they say that?
I saw it in the pre-production stuff, because they specifically said he's the same age as Luke and Leia are supposed to be.
Oldest looking 14-year-olds
Holy
on Earth.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a thing.
This is like, I think they said at least 3 or 4 years before A New Hope.
Oh, only?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Luke and Leia are like 17, 18 in A New Hope. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, they're definitely showing up then, so.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was joking with David about it. I was like, I wonder at what point they're going to run, like, a mission to Alderaan or something and see Princess Leia or whatever.
Sorry.
And David said he looked through, like, the visual guide, and he's like, someone's definitely showing up.
The
Your
Rebels
first guess
visual
is
guide?
Probably going to be right. And I was like, Chewbacca? Or C-3PO and R2-D2? And he's like, the latter. So, yeah, they're definitely going to go to Alderaan at some point, I guess.
So your first choice wasn't right.
It wasn't. And I immediately said back to him, I was like, shit, should have put them first.
Yeah. They're in everything. You got to have them everywhere.
For love in Alderaan.
Yeah. I mean, there's Wookiees in that first one. But Rebels was okay. John Dennis really liked it. He said that the nostalgia really helped it. But, you know, at the same time, I'm kind of immune to that, I guess, in a way. Like, I don't... Yeah. That doesn't work for me, and I know it works for a lot of people, and that's great.
Just being called Star Wars doesn't do it for you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Just seeing Stormtroopers doesn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
David said he was really relieved to see TIE Fighters again. He's cool hearing all the sounds and stuff. But it was not the disaster that Simon Kinberg being a writer on it would imply.
Oh, man. Let me...
I don't know.
So... That's what the rumor is.
Well, he didn't write that, remember? Like, they hired him, and then he was kind of quietly shuffled off to Rebels.
He's on the story crew still. He's on the story crew for the movie.
I mean, none of this was as bad as X3 is in Rebels.
Good.
Like, well, except maybe the one Imperial guy's facial hair, because it was super fucking stupid. It was the shape of his helmet.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Like, that's so stupid. And I know it's just, like, one visual design thing, but it was just, like, is that a joke? Because that's, like, a fucking Spaceballs joke. Like.
Yes.
Like, for real, that's, like, a Spaceballs joke. But, I mean, it was fine. I like the Jedi guy and his girlfriend slash wife slash whatever the hell, Hera? Is that how it's said instead of Hera? Because I thought it was Hera, but they say it Hera, I believe.
Oh, I don't know.
She was neat. She was probably my favorite character, even though she doesn't really do anything except just hang out in the ship for the most part. But she's like the one person who like completely subverts what I like to call Pirates of the Caribbean syndrome, where everyone is antagonistic, but you know they have to work together, but they have to spend 50 minutes of like the plot wasted on how these people don't trust each other and how they're going to betray one another. Mm. She's like, I completely trust you, kid, and you're going to do the right thing because I think you're a good person. And I'm like, awesome. None of this stupid fucking Jack Sparrow bullshit that I fucking hate. I really do hate that shit. Like, boy. Boy, oh boy.
I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Let's go on this adventure.
Did you just say I don't trust Jews?
No, Michael.
Not the Merchant of Venice today.
No, not today.
Oh.
But, I don't know. The reviews for it are fairly positive. I did see one review that's going to, like, entirely color, I think, the general perception of this, which is that It has enough original trilogy stuff to keep people satisfied, I think, is what the guy said. It's not a verbatim quote. I actually took a photo of it. It didn't interest me as much as that second episode of Clone Wars did, which is the one where Yoda's on the planet with all the clone troopers. And trust me, like, the early Clone Wars episodes are really spotty in quality.
They're pretty shaky. They're pretty shaky.
Like, it isn't really until... I don't know. I don't remember a specific episode, but I'll just say the one where it's all the clones training on the one installation that's being invaded by the Separatists. That's when the show starts to, like, finally find
its footing.
Is that
the one where there's, like, a traitor amongst the clone troopers or something?
I don't know. I know they're blowing up a bridge at one point. It's the first time you meet that one squadron that's going to appear throughout most of the series. Okay. It's got Fives and not Oddball or whatever. That's one of the pilots in Episode 3. Actually, it might be Oddball. All
right.
I don't know. Anyway, this guy's review said... Hank Stoiver says, Star Wars Rebels finds the right balance between hype and hyperspace, which he should be fired for because that is the cheesiest fucking pull quote ever. The Washington Post TV critic said the first episode is a, quote, perfectly acceptable entry in the Star Wars universe, quote, the show style more recognizable than that of the prequels. So there you go. That's what it is. It doesn't look like the prequels and is perfectly acceptable.
Perfect. Not going to get better than that.
Yeah. Damn it with faint praise, I suppose.
Yep.
We'll see. I hope Disney doesn't fuck up the airing schedule. Did it actually come on the Disney Channel? Cause,
yes, I think so.
Okay, because I can't tell. I had to actually set, like, Gravity Falls to record on every channel it airs on because, like, they decided to, like, show the Halloween episode this year on the Disney Channel, so it shows up as a rerun on Disney XD.
You know, like, I mean, I'm...
And then it cut off the last 10 minutes because, like, Disney XD and Disney are fucked up in how they show stuff. So it's just like, well, we're just going to start this at, 11:15. I know it's scheduled at 11 o'clock, but we're going to show it until 11:47. So...
It's like the BBC stuff.
Yeah, so set your DVR to end an hour after the show is scheduled to, and you might catch all of it. God damn, it pisses me off. And it cut off this episode of Gravity Falls because I forgot to set it that way.
Boo.
Yeah. What can you do?
I don't know, man. I don't know how well Disney XD does or anything, but...
I suspect that's part of the problem is it seems that more and more of the Disney XD shows are at least showing on Disney Channel in order to get people interested in them.
Yeah.
Then again, FX has a channel that's just movies, apparently, because I, like, exited out of The Strain last night while I was building that little Nanoblox Tokyo Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And Shakespeare in Love was on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
On the FX Now app, where on the phone and tablet, you can watch live TV. They have FX, FXX, and FX Movies.
Yeah, FXM. But, yeah.
FXM.
Yeah, I think you'd fallen asleep by that point, Jay. So I said to David, I was like, yep, 14-year-old me was definitely right about this, and it's way not good.
Oh, man. The other night, we had the hair to watch the stupid, you know, Wicker Man best of thing again because it's great. But
the bees,
but then
the
I was
bees.
Like, I was like, I wonder if there's like a best of The English Patient because it'd show all the best scenes of it, quote unquote. And there were.
Oh, sweet.
They were all off.
There was one, though. The best scene was when Saeed from Lost is saying bye to somebody there at the end.
Oh, they kick
and
on.
He gets on the, and he gets on the motorcycle and drives off, and they start playing.
They kick on "Born to Be Wild."
Born to Be Wild. it was hilarious.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. So it exists. People don't like that movie because it
good.
The best scene was like this horrible. You kidding? I loved you this entire time. Oh
yeah. I mean, I'd never seen The English Patient until one time. I was watching it, like, part of it came on in the apartment or whatever, and it was like, did nobody realize this movie's a comedy? Because it sure as hell is staged like one.
It is. It really is.
Like,
that scene we saw where they were fucking with all the people around eating Christmas dinner or something, like, and they're like the grossest makeout you've ever, like, you've never seen two people make out and you want to throw up more in your life. It's gross. It's sticking its fingers in her mouth and like they were probably on the dirt. It's gross. Nasty. Just like shoving them in her mouth.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
It's like a doctor.
Yeah, doctor.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, Rebels to English Patient. What do you know?
You know.
What's next?
Well, did you guys watch anything separate? Because I don't know why I covered my mouth saying that. Did you guys, like, Chris, did you watch anything besides Rebels?
I watched that.
I'm assuming you guys had a bigger spread than I did, because, you know, I don't watch as much TV.
No.
I watched, do you want to talk about Gotham?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I watched Gotham. I've watched...
All right, Fraggles, let me sing you a song about best friends. I'm sorry, you don't sound like the trash heap, Chris. It would be great if you did.
That would be great. No, I watched Gotham. I watched the first two episodes.
Say, would you like fries with that?
Would you like fries with that?
Take 200 Krusty Burgers.
100 tacos for $100.
Yeah, Gotham's okay so far. I like the second episode a lot better than the first episode.
The Selena Kyle one?
Yeah.
I've heard the show is dorky.
It is dorky as shit.
Yeah. Some people that I read stuff about. if you thought S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of nerdy at some times, like, this is the worst thing you've ever seen.
They definitely, especially like the Edward Nygma in the first episode.
Oh my gosh.
They just like, hey, look, it's the Riddler. Wink, wink, wink.
Dude, they do wink, that with every... Wink. Like, the second episode was better simply for the fact that they didn't try to do everyone like that.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, some of them were more subtle than others. Like, Poison Ivy's name actually isn't Pamela Isley. It's, like, Isabella or something. So I didn't like, I think I was, like, playing New Super Mario Bros. 2 or whatever while I was watching, like, the pilot. And I was looking down at the screen at the time. And I looked up and there was, like, a little redheaded girl, like, shooting a, you know... A little water spritzer on some plants, and I was like, oh, Poison Ivy's the daughter of that one dude that
does the thing.
Didn't kill the Waynes that was framed for some reason.
Joe Bill?
No, see, it's not going to be Joe Chill Chase, but if it is, it would be my favorite show ever, because they would have this huge setup for, like, who killed the Waynes?
Like, and it
this,
was Joe
the season-long mystery, and then it just turns out to be the one of only two guys ever that have ever killed the Waynes. With the sole other person just being the Joker in the 89
movie.
Yeah. Jack Napier.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, kid.
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Stupid.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
No, I just wanted to hear my voice say that.
It's fantastic.
I love 89 Batman.
Oh, man. That movie. Gotham is not this, I assume.
No, see, that's the thing. Like, 89 Batman kind of exists in, like, this world where it's so cool to be seeing Batman do stuff that you sort of forget the very first thing Batman does is get shot and fall on his ass.
Right.
Pop! Because it's still so cool because it's Batman.
Yeah. And he's dark Batman. He's not. The last time people saw Batman was the 66 Batman.
It's true. I mean...
Yeah. No, I mean, it's...
89 came out.
A big, big difference.
Yeah. I mean, the Superman movie was in between, but that was still pretty dorky. But
you know. Well, when you it's go back, like, and watch them, the 89 Batman is, you can watch through it. Go back and watch Batman Returns.
I will watch it every year.
Batman Returns is the greatest film ever made.
Are you kidding me?
In its own individual genre of completely batshit weirdness.
It is.
You mean a Batman movie where Batman doesn't show up for 45 minutes?
I know. It's and he, like, kills a clown by strapping a bomb to him and throwing him down a manhole.
What a movie.
And Catwoman screams so loud that the greenhouse she fell into explodes.
It's awesome. The movie's great. Everything about that movie is great. I love it.
Yeah, boy.
What a movie.
The Penguin controlling the Batmobile by getting in, like, one of those little grocery store quarter rides.
Like, and having sex with it.
Yeah, oh my god, the movie's amazing. I love Batman Returns. Like, I don't know what the hell happened to Tim Burton, but he definitely did not make boring movies then. We'll see about Big Eyes when it comes out.
Big Eyes, huh?
I'm excited for it. Mm-hmm. I hope it's good. But, yeah. Me too. Like, the thing that really struck me about Gotham is, like, for the main motivating event of everything in the entire show, the murder of the Waynes, the actual, like, opening bit where they're shot is, like, the most astoundingly tension and drama-free thing I have ever seen in my life.
I saw...
And I know part of that is because we're expecting it to happen.
Of course.
But they make it captivating and, you know, like...
Every other thing?
Every other thing ever. Like, you know, there's an episode of Brave and the Bold where it's, like, more dramatic and well... But I was expecting Gotham to be really, really terrible, and it's just kind of okay.
It's just kind of dorky and just
it's
like...
It's pretty dorky.
Is it procedural cop drama thing?
See, not really. Mm. It's not like NCIS or anything.
No, it's something different.
Have you
see like, that would be more interesting to me.
NCIS,
they just went NCIS Gotham.
It is the dumbest show.
CSI Metropolis.
It is like everything that happens in that show is like, what the fuck is this show?
Oh, see, a Star Labs show would be a who?
Law and Order, yeah. Central City.
But I don't know. You might get that in the Flash. He works in the crime lab. Remember?
Yeah, I fully expect it.
We'll see. Like Horseshoe and Gilpin, who adore Arrow, are super ready for Flash to be stupid as shit.
Really?
Yes, they're like, it looks so dumb. Like, good. I have no hope. And it's not, like, excited in, like, you know, like, the way I was excited for, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to be a golden turd. It's kind of like this vague dread.
I assume they probably just think the Flash is stupid because he runs fast.
Horseshoe likes the Flash. Doesn't... I don't know about Gilpin. But, yeah, I don't know. My dad really liked the first episode. I don't think he watched the second one yet. I will say I was surprised at how violent the show is. In the second episode, the Penguin kills a guy by breaking a bottle and stabbing it in his neck.
Yeah, it's pretty violent.
Kind of shocked, because I think this show might play really well to, like, 9 and 10-year-olds.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe. I'm very excited for the next episode, because apparently a dude is killing people by strapping them to weather balloons.
Okay. Sounds
awesome. I think he's called the Weatherman.
Sounds awesome.
I know. Oh my gosh, it looks so stupid. But yeah, like, I didn't think that Bruce was going to be as big a part of the show as he is, but like,
I didn't either.
He's in every episode. He shows up at least twice in every episode, and he's doing some, like, you know, proto Batman is a total badass thing. Except for when he was, like, listening to, like, Avenged Sevenfold on these giant pair of Skull Candy headphones. It wasn't Avenged Sevenfold. It was just generic rock music to reflect the darkness in his soul, which is exactly the fucking joke that the Lego movie made, which made it so much better.
Yeah, that's funny. Dead parents.
Yeah, and I think he's, like, you know, drawing, like, I don't know, like a dead body or something on a piece of paper to show, this kid's intense.
Look at this kid.
Like,
Oh, and when he burns his hand on the candle?
Yeah, he sticks his hand to the flame of a candle and burns himself until Alfred comes in and is like, you little fool!
So overall, the Gotham's pretty dorky, just not...
It's not bad. It's not terrible. Like I say, with it being a new show, I kind of want to give it a couple episodes, but it's not really, like, blowing me away either.
See, the thing is, like, I don't know how people are receiving it, but the one thing I saw that told me everything I needed to know was I finally read the last three issues of All-Star Western today, which the last issue was great because it completely, like, solves Jonah Hex's actual death.
Really?
In a way that's super cool. But there was a double-page spread ad for Gotham, and, like, one of the poll quotes was, Mondays this fall are going to be badass. And it's like, you know, like, X, you know, pop culture criticism website, and I'm like, you know, like, they probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. This is not made for me. It is very much like where you were saying, like, a couple months ago, Jace, where you couldn't believe that anybody could be more popular than Batman or whatever in that sideshow contest where it was like, vote for Batman or Darth Vader.
Right.
Like, it's very much like, it's like that.
Those two.
It is like the show for that audience. Like, you know, like the guys who, like, you know, read Nightfall 25 years ago and now have like a contracting job where they make, like, you know, 500K a year or something at like a server farm and then go out and buy like, you know, a $1,200 sideshow statue and then build like their own furniture to house it, which I hate those guys.
Oh, man.
I hate them and their custom furniture. Their wonderful custom furniture.
Their wonderful furnishes full of wonderful things that just look awesome, and I just fucking hate it. I'm stuck with this table from the rehome store.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's very much like the movie for the people that had never heard, or very much the TV show for people that didn't know Iron Man was a thing until a movie came out and were surprised it was a comic.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a Black Sabbath song.
You know. I mean, I know what my dad likes. It's because it's about detectives. My dad pretty much likes anything that's about detectives. Which is funny because he was like, so were you watching this Turn show? And I was like, yeah, I didn't think it was especially good. And he was like, yeah, it's too bad because, like, you can only, like, you know, do so many things where it's like, you know, police officers. And I'm like, yes.
You got it.
I wish Turn was a better show. I really do.
I agree with that totally.
Like, it's so sad because it's like a really, really interesting story that is framed in a really, really staid and basic and unfulfilling fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the best moment of that entire first season was when he was trying to, like, the main guy, the spy, was trying to get back to his city, and he ran into a revolutionary soldier that was a deserter living out in the woods and mistook him for a redcoat and was trying to kill him and hold him hostage. And then, like, the spy actually got saved by the British because they came to the guy's camp and shot him. It was about the most interesting thing they ended up doing.
Yeah.
Like, no joke, guys. Like, cabbage shipments are, like, a big part of what this show is.
Cabbage, oh, yeah.
Cabbage shipments, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
It was actually pretty entertaining how that turned out, because it was utterly ridiculous. It was like to raise their interest rates on Clone Wars. Uh-huh. But, you know, I don't know.
What
I'm not going to lie.
What did you guys watch? Anything?
Anybody?
Did watch one?
Takers?
I watched the first episode of The Simpsons this season.
Oh, the Jackie Mason
thing? I watched
it,
too.
With that weird gag that I saw when we were eating in Ted's?
That was, apparently that's a really famous animator who did that.
What's his name?
Well, let me look.
I'd like to know.
Was it Bill Plimpton?
No, it wasn't Bill Plimpton.
Was it Ralph Bakshi?
No, it wasn't Ralph Bakshi. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
It didn't look like traced over shit.
I didn't see it ever. I know you sent that link, but I wasn't able to watch it and just forgot about it because it gets lost.
Yeah, nice.
Look, sometimes when you send 800 texts, you just get lost. What am I supposed to do?
Okay, sure, whatever.
What a fucking motherfucker.
I liked the episode, though. It was a fun episode.
I saw the very tail end of it in my Brooklyn Nine-Nine recording.
It was...
Apparently Sarah Silverman was in it.
Yeah, well, because...
As was Sideshow Cecil. Maybe. David Hyde Pierce was in it, I know that. And Kelsey Grammer.
No, he was David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, he was his himself.
Yes.
That's a disappointing thing.
Well, that's what you're dealing with these days. Mm. Never forget that episode with Nessie where Britney Spears shows up just to be Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And they get Nessie. Like.
The animator's name is Don Hertzfeldt.
Oh, I know him.
Oh, all right. Weird.
And they did like, what it is it was like future anniversaries like the 5,000th episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, Samsons.
Yeah, The Simpsons. And it
was like
weird.
22 Jump Street?
Yes, sort of.
Yeah, I don't know if they realized that he turned in something that was making fun of how long the show is run.
I think
they put on the fucking Banksy thing. I don't care.
What was the Banksy thing?
Well, they had the people in China cutting up horses and making them film cells or something and Simpsons merchandise and... And like whipping people to make the shows and
it is kind of funny because conditions. It confirmed Lisa because you know Krusty's dad dies
and yet Jackie Mason still lives.
Yeah. Well.
Oh man.
Because I was worried for a second.
Lisa starts freaking out about Homer dying, and so she's getting really overprotective, and she comes in the middle of the night, and she's like, I've noticed that Dad quits breathing halfway through the night. He's just snoring, and then he stops. And I'm like, oh, Homer's got apnea. And then Lisa's got a little daddy cam. Like, she's got a baby monitor watching the parents' bedroom. And Marge is trying to put the the apnea machine on his face and it's smothering him. And I like that gag. It was pretty funny. But he went to Krusty Has a Dream About Jewish Heaven, and that was one of the funniest gags in the show.
The thing with Rodney Dangerfield, that's what I saw. Yeah. Because he's like, hey, can you turn this water into a Bloody Mary just for once? And he's like, you're an all right guy.
He was talking to Jesus, yeah.
Yes. They were sitting on thrones looking down from the sky.
And, yeah.
That
but
Dame
no,
is so
they,
classy.
It was a good gag.
They were doing a roast, and that's why Sarah Silverman and, what's his name? The guy that's Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross.
Is it every Comedy Central roast and
he's
stuff
a roast
like that?
Guy,
yeah.
He's the fat guy with the curly hair.
Always has a scraggly beard.
That doesn't help. That's
and
a
only
lot of
yeah, that's like fat dude with curly hair and scraggly beard is like 95% of all comedians.
Seriously, I've only ever seen him doing roast.
He's only the guy at the roast.
That's all he does.
He's on every roast.
Mm-hmm. Is he the one who said Itchy and Scratchy is also your name for your balls or whatever that played over the end credits?
Yeah, no. Well, his
I thought
was,
that guy looked like David Schwimmer.
Jeffrey Ross looks like a thinner. Fuck, I don't know.
He said, you know, your show definitely wins in the demographic, the key demographic of people who died with the TV set on.
Yeah. Okay.
He sounds like Jeff Garlin.
Yeah, he sounds like Jeff Garlin. He does.
Okay, yeah. That was the guy I saw. Yeah.
But, what?
Jeff Garlin on Howard Stern was the greatest ever.
Yeah! You know, Sideshow Bob showed up, and then, but now Sideshow, but,
Did he die?
No, he didn't die. Mm-hmm. The reason that David Hyde Pierce was on there was because his monkey, where Krusty wasn't doing the show for a while, had joined the cast of the remake of Odd Couple, and it was his monkey and David Hyde Pierce.
Which one was which?
obviously.
The monkey was the slop. The monkey was
Oscar?
Or wait. Yeah, Oscar's a slob. Shit. Yeah.
But
sorry, the last name Unger just makes me think.
It's true,
slob,
I know, right?
For some reason. I don't know
but
why.
But it was
Unger.
Yeah. It was a fun little episode, and it was, you know, obviously Bart coming in to help Krusty understand stuff and, you know.
That wise soul, Bart.
Yeah. Bart goes to Temple to help Krusty, so that was kind of funny. But I liked it. It was a good first episode of the season.
Anybody watch the Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode?
I did.
Yes, and it was great.
I'm saving up for it.
Boy, they sure got out of that thing from the last season really quick.
Super quick.
It was pretty funny because it's just like,
yeah, well, I'm done.
Yeah, we're out.
Yeah. I was trying to find out if, what's her face? The sister from.
Oh, Jean-Ralphio's sister. That's
yeah.
her.
Yeah, I know, but I was trying to figure out if she was like married to someone like Michael Schur or something since they cross over. Since the people that made Brooklyn Nine-Nine made Parks and Rec and shit. So.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Jean-Ralphio's on that.
But she was not.
Showtime.
They just
thing.
Like her.
House of Lies.
Yeah, I've watched some House of Lies. It's not bad.
Is it a comedy? Because I can't tell.
It's a dark comedy.
That dark comedies are ones you can't tell they're comedies or not. That's true.
You can tell Fish Called Wanda's a comedy.
I wouldn't even say that's dark. It's dark things happen, but I wouldn't call it a dark comedy. But I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I watched another show that was on Fox called Red Band Society.
Oh yeah, what's that about?
So
TV, what parental discretion advised? I know is what airs on the commercial for it. And I was like, what?
What the fuck?
Well, apparently it's based off of a show from Spain, but it's about these kids that all are in the, I guess I don't know if you want to call it intensive care of a hospital. But, like, have to live at a hospital because they have some type of an illness.
The children's ward.
Yeah, and
the type of kid John Cena goes to see.
The red, yeah.
Pick out some squirt guns.
The bands on their wrist are, like, all the surgeries that they've had.
So
and, like, one kid has cystic fibrosis.
Sounds like a riveting show.
Yeah, one kid has
it's a comedy,
like,
I think, right?
One lost his leg. One girl has really bad anorexia. And then there's one girl who's like a super bitch in the show, who's like the cheerleader, who comes in because she has to have like a heart transplant. But it's all narrated by this kid who's in a coma, who can hear everything that's going on, but he's in a coma, and he's narrating the whole show.
Sounds like the sea inside is...
Oh my god, yeah. Holy shit.
And, but, here's the weirder part of it. When they, like, go under anesthesia, or if, say, they're, like, about to die or something, like, one time one of the girls, like, has a bad episode with her heart. And, you know, they had to, like, shock her to bring her back to life, whatever. He can talk to them.
Oh, like, while they're under the knife?
While in, like, a dream state kind of thing. Like, as if they're in, like, limbo. He can talk to them.
Okay.
So, that was the only kind of weird thing.
Okay.
Well, you know. So, is this a comedy?
I don't, I mean, it's got some, it has some funny things, but I would say it's definitely more along the lines of like a drama, but I mean, it has its lighthearted moments.
Hmm. The advertisements make it look like a comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't see any advertisements because I watch them all on Hulu, so. But I mean, the first couple episodes were okay.
Well,
it's a, it's kind of an interesting concept because it's not really something that you would normally see a show about.
There was a show on HBO that was about nurses that did not last very long, if I remember right.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this kind of reminds me of, but that was more blatantly a comedy.
Oh! Totally changing subject. Did you watch the first couple episodes of the new South Park season?
Nope, I didn't even realize it happened, so good job,
Comedy Central.
Planet Earth.
The first episode is pretty freaking funny.
Which one is that?
The kids want to start an internet startup just so they could stay at home and sit on their asses and make money.
Sounds great.
And
the American dream.
American dream.
They're trying to come up with a name that's not been copyrighted. And they go through all these names, and they're all like these ludicrous names. And then they finally come up with it that hasn't been copyrighted or trademarked. And they go, we'll call ourselves the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, I did hear about this.
But the best part of the episode, do you want me to tell you?
Sure.
So they're funding it all through Kickstarter. And the Washington Redskins have been like, okay, you need to quit it. And they're like, no, we're making all this money. We're not like going to let you have the name back. So the coach or the owner of the Washington Redskins sends the football team into Kickstarter in the middle of the night. And they sneak in. And then they just start like stabbing people and like scalping them. And then they burn Kickstarter down. It's just like a late night Indian raid.
Oh my god. Oh my god. All right. Oh my god. Nice.
Yeah, all right then.
Nice.
But there's been two episodes so far. There's been that one and then gluten, that the second one was called Gluten-Free Ebola, where everybody goes gluten-free, and it's pretty darn funny, too.
Obviously, they had a house guest that insisted on all of the meals being gluten-free.
It starts with the teachers, because Mr. Mackey goes gluten-free.
Of course. Okay.
I watched the first two episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I did, too.
Oh, wow, Chris. Jeez. Tell me, what did you think? Because I thought the first episode actually wasn't half bad.
I agree. I think it definitely started in a better place.
And then that second episode was just right off the cliff into, you know, the sharp rocks below.
Yeah, I don't... Honestly, the second episode wasn't that memorable for me. But the first one I thought was okay. I don't understand why they brought back the stupid girl in the flower dress, because I just don't care about her.
Yeah, that's actually pretty much what I told David and Jason while I was watching. I was like, oh, great, the girl in the flower dress is back, because I guess we didn't have enough, like, annoying characters that exist only to be plot snarky plot devices.
But the first episode I genuinely did like. I thought it was good. I like that they're all kind of under the radar, but I don't know.
They all went dark. You have to say go dark, Chris, because they only say it 30 fucking times every episode.
The way the second episode ended.
They even say it in the commercials, Chase.
Oh.
The way the second episode ended, it almost felt like they were supposed to air on the same night, back to back.
I could believe it, because, I mean, it did very much follow up exactly where they were, but I don't know what came on after S.H.I.E.L.D., or if S.H.I.E.L.D. aired at, like, 9 o'clock. What?
What?
You're sad that it aired at 9 o'clock?
No. Yeah.
No.
Michael just made a noise.
Wait, did you fall asleep?
No.
Not without his breathing machine.
Not without my breathing machine, that's right.
Michael, do you have a CPAP?
No. I'm hopefully going to get one soon, but...
yeah, I mean, it's sad because they did a lot of smart things in that first episode, like putting Coulson behind a desk, which is where he's best placed, because, like, I'm sorry, he's just not a super ultimate crazy awesome action hero. Like, he's just not, and stop trying to make him that way. Like,
yeah, that's
the gag
not
was that you liked him because he was a bureaucrat.
Yeah, he was just a dude.
You know, like, he's hapless in that first movie, so no, I don't need to hear about how he was like James Bond at one point. It actually, like, sort of ruins the appeal of the character in a way. You know,
it's not like hearing about Ripper on Buffy or anything. That's a
yeah, I know. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
because,
great.
Like, you've had 5 seasons of Giles just being like an uptight nerd.
Yeah, and then you find out he's the biggest badass ever.
But they put Skye out in the field, which was smart because, like, having her just sit behind a desk and do computer stuff all the time was really boring.
Yep.
They had, like, some disposable characters, which, I mean, you knew they were disposable, but still, which is something the show needed because there's, like, absolutely no threat because you know they're not going to do anything to any of the cast.
Like Lucy Lawless being a disposable character.
That was actually pretty neat. I like that. And it's unfortunate that she kicked it, not, like, the British guy, because the British guy was, like, the most boring of those three.
Yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And he's the one they decided to keep. Like, there's a point in, like, the end of the second episode where they're all on a mission and they're going to stop the Absorbing Man from giving this briefcase to whoever the fuck, I guess Hydra.
Thanos.
Come on. And, you know, girl...
If that's where they introduced Thanos, was on S.H.I.E.L.D.
That would be incredible. Or that would have been incredible, I guess. I don't know, I wonder how this is going to tie into Age of Ultron, but we'll see.
Because, yeah, it's going to play right into it, isn't it?
I imagine it probably will.
It's giving the briefcase to Kang.
Actually, he gives it to Kyle MacLachlan, who is Skye's dad and has to wear prosthetic skin of some type, because You see him putting on his arm at the very end of the episode. David made the joke. He's like, maybe Skye's dad is Black Bolt because everything she says hurts my ears. Just kidding. I just wanted to make a joke.
Well, that makes me think more and more that at least he's a Kree.
I think he's going to be an Inhuman of some type, yeah. Like, that's my thing.
Well, maybe he's...
Not necessarily Black Bolt.
That'd be incredible. I mean, it would be like in Dune, with the same powers.
What deep?
What deep? Yeah, there was a scene at the end of it where this whole thing's going down, and they send the British guy out to go help Skye and Melinda May, and I think Dweeby's there, Fitz. And
which?
Sudden betrayal, British guy shoots them all, and it's just, like, so dumb. because there's like no tension or interest whatsoever. You're like, oh, curse your, like, it's like, yeah, that line in Firefly, curse your inevitable betrayer, little plastic dinosaur. How dare you eat me or whatever that Wash says in the beginning of that first episode.
Yeah. Like,
it's very much like that kind of thing. And there was some line that just made me want to kill myself in the first episode. It was so terrible. And I was like, please stop trying to be your brother, Jed. I'm like, you're not.
Well, you saw that, I don't know if you saw the saw a clip for the third episode.
Were they killing people with a weather balloon?
No, they were.
Oh, shut up. You made this up.
It showed.
That's Gotham, man.
Oh, Gotham?
Yeah.
It's Simmons.
Yeah, awesome. Simmons is going to come back and do something. She might be working for Hydra.
Well, yeah, the whole opening clip is her waking up and getting ready in the morning.
Who?
She's all happy and stuff. Simmons, the scientist.
You know, the girl who with the indeterminate degree of lazy eye.
The chick with the stupid outfits?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. And she...
Not Hermione.
She ends up, like, going into a lab and stuff, and then I need the report on my desk by 9 a.m., and then he walks past a Hydra symbol, so...
Okay, I didn't see that. I just saw Coulson saying something about, you didn't think we would find you? I don't know, I'm kind of bummed out, because splitting Fitz and Simmons up was, like, one of the really smart things, because it made the supporting cast approximately 50% less annoying, because I like Fitz fine, I like Simmons fine.
Well, my guess
I fucking
is,
hate them together.
I think they're going to keep them split up.
Good. I like that Fitz is apparently has... Fitz has brain damage from being underwater at the end of the first season.
Yeah, I'll have to tell that from him talk.
So he keeps imagining that Simmons is there and he keeps talking to her, you know.
Oh my god.
Man, it actually kind of worked because he doesn't...
It does kind
of
work.
They cut out all of like the annoyingly twee, pseudoscience-y bullshit dialogue. And now he has to word search.
But when the way it works is in his head, she like if he's trying to think of something, she answers it for him, but he doesn't answer it in real life.
Hmm.
And what do you think about the guy, like the mechanic guy?
Oh, the giant black dude?
Yeah.
I like him. He's very like funny because he's very sincere.
I like his character a lot, actually.
So it's hilarious seeing him next to Fitz, who has to be like 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
I've not watched it yet. I mean, have they come right out and said that Patton Oswalt's an LMD yet?
No. Is they just keep saying it's his brother or something. He actually wasn't even in the second episode, I don't think.
Your brother, Baron!
I wonder how many episodes he's actually going to be in.
He'll probably be in the last episode of this half season. And then they'll probably have him showing up in all the other S.H.I.E.L.D. bases at the end, or, you know, in the next half season.
When they have to go dark somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because they do love saying that. Go dark, go dark. You have to go dark. Are we going dark? No, don't go dark. I don't know. It's too bad, because that show really improved in the second half of the first season. It never became great, but it became solid. And that first episode was solid, and that second episode was right off the cliff into the ocean.
Yeah, give it a time.
Woo!
Give it some chance, because
he's been watching the show. He's been watching the show. I'm not giving it a chance.
I know.
I stopped.
I know.
I don't care.
Don't do that to yourself.
I'm out.
They did confirm that Dominic Cooper's 100% comeback, Howard Stark.
I'm sure he will be very glad to when his career takes like a F5 warhead missile blow to it when Dracula Untold comes out next week.
I'll tell you, I did like that.
And one of the way that they officially announced it was Haley Atwell took a picture of herself and Dominic Cooper's mustache.
All right. Nice fake mustache.
Here's what they should do. They should get a movie together.
Hey, maybe Agent Carter will be good.
With Aaron,
the first 5 minutes was good.
Dominic Cooper, Aaron Eckhart, and Benicio del Toro all in a movie together. Talking about how shitty that their fucking dumb remakes of classic horror were. That'd be a great team.
What was I
like?
Was I Frankenstein Universal?
No, I don't think so.
I was gonna say I thought it was Screen Gems, which is Sony.
Yeah, I don't know that. Just,
anyway,
I liked that opening scene though with
the Howling Commandos.
Atwell and
yeah, it was nice to see characters that have chemistry again, huh?
Yeah,
because I mean, like, boy, like Agent Triplett or whatever, who's like not Anthony Mackie, basically, like. His thing is that he's supposed to be Gabe Jones's great grandson or grandson or something.
Yeah.
And he was originally Bill Paxton's like assistant until Bill Paxton turned out to be evil. Like, he's basically there to be not Ward, which, you know, Ward was like the big beefy guy that actually turned out to be the real evil mole traitor dude, which was the most interesting thing that ever happened to that character. Agent Triplett's fine. The actor is far more charismatic than the guy who plays Ward is, which, boy, I don't even know how the guy who plays Ward has a master's in drama. Like, that blows my mind. It really does. Like, he went to Columbia University and has, like a PhD in drama.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he just studied TNT for a long time?
But no. I don't know. I will say that if they make Ward, like, if they try to redeem him and make him into a good guy, then the show is completely worthless, and I will have sacrificed far too much of my life and will regret it for having done so, because that would be the dumbest thing. And I'm really scared they're going to do that. Like, commit. Please commit. But yeah. I mean, heck, that's why Lucy Lawless's team was more interesting, because they also had, like, a lot of chemistry. I don't know. The individual relationships on that show are fine, but as a group, they just don't gel for some reason, and I don't know why. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Having two of the same character not be around does help, though. So, sorry, Simmons.
Suck it.
It's got to be one or the other. Can't be both. Anyway. All right. Jace, you watched Selfie, huh?
Yeah,
because I watched Selfie as well. Did anybody else watch Selfie?
You told me, quote unquote, you have to watch.
You have to watch it.
You have to watch
it. You gotta watch it.
I watched it.
I didn't get a chance to.
Hey, Kenzel, let me tell you something.
Don't
you?
What?
Don't waste your time.
You need to watch it.
Oh my gosh! Come on, it was amazingly terrible.
I get
the dude Jason's joke. It's amazing. Lee bad.
I really feel sorry for both of those actors because
I
like them both. I really like them both.
I like one of them.
Shut up. I like them both.
Okay, I'm glad. And, oh, sorry.
And number one, I hate hearing her with an American accent.
Oh, you mean how she sounds like a man?
Yeah, well, her American accent's horrible.
See, but when I heard it, that's how women like that talk. So
she
did a good job because that's how they sound.
I don't like her voice.
Oh, you mean like a vocal fry? Instagram celeb or something? Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, yeah. They all sound like Chris does right now.
But
thanks.
I don't know. It was a bad show. Bad show.
Oh, boy. Like, the second I knew I had to watch it was when I was looking at the reviews and it said Eliza Dooley and Henry
Higgins.
Just Henry? It's not Henry Higgins. No, it's something similar to it.
I thought it was just
Maybe
Higginbottom.
Henry Higginbottom, yes.
Oh, Higginbottom. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
I was like, stupid. Oh my God, I have to watch this. Like,
so what do you think they're trying to emulate?
I don't know.
Pygmalion.
No.
Yeah,
No.
Not at all. Why would you think that, good sir?
That has nothing. Her name's Eliza Doolittle.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It's
completely
to Dr. Doolittle.
Right.
Dr. Doolittle's daughter. She's going to talk to the animals.
That was already a sequel.
That's right, Dr.
That
Doolittle
was the third
3.
One. Yes. So it's now a fourth one.
Kyra Pratt.
It's a different daughter that has a different power of talking to animals.
Yeah.
I like that they just, like, they're making a statement about women that don't really have to be. It's the statement that doesn't matter. Like, who cares? Who cares about these people? Like, who cares?
What,
it's so stupid.
Your online friends are not necessarily your real life
friends? Yeah, it's like this woman doesn't have a single friend on the entire planet except people that like her face. And we don't get that because we don't see any of the friends. We don't see the likes. We don't see the Instagram. We don't see people on the street say hi.
See, that's
where
you got to pause it and read the comments, man.
It's like, oh my God.
You got to read the comments.
Yeah, no thanks.
They show, like, the best joke in the episode was talking about her. She's like one of these chicks that has to make sure that her lipstick matches her thong or something, which is like in the first 30 seconds of the episode, which is not a good sign that it's the best joke.
Yeah.
Do I get to see Karen Gillan in a thong?
Actually, you get to see her in a bra.
She's naked.
Yeah, she is technically naked in like one blurry Instagram shot. She's doing the hand bra. Or the arm bra, I guess.
She does that. You know that the sexy face she does in the Doctor Who all the time, Chris? You know that she does her sexy face?
Yes.
That is the entire show. That is it.
Interesting.
It's just the lips out.
Oh, the duck face?
She doesn't even do a duck face. It's like how sexy girls look. I can't. I mean, that's what she does. She does that and Surprised.
Yeah, I was telling Horseshoe about Jace's theory of like one expression, as he likes to call her.
Yeah.
And boy, it made Horseshoe mad. He's got a big thing for her.
Well,
he's like, I just disagree with that. I don't even see how that works. She has more than one expression.
Kids got it bad.
Oh, you know,
that's funny. I even showed you the pictures.
Yeah, it's true.
Same, it's all the same. But the show is. I mean, it was all just. It was everything was. There was nothing hidden. I mean, it's just like a sitcom. They just say it out loud. You have no friends, and you have to be a good person because you're an awful. He's a fucking dickhead. Like,
I like that though. There was some painful shit in this episode, such as the hipster nerd chicks in the elevator singing "Bad Romance" with a ukulele. That's the moment where I was like, Jace, you have to watch this.
I knew that was why. When I got to that, I was like watching this, like, why do I have to watch this? It just looks like a stupid show. And, oh, okay, well, that's why. That was the worst thing that ever happened. The rest of the show is just whatever to me. Like, I don't give a fuck. I just thought he was a super dick, and then why would you? I don't know. He's just a super dickhead and didn't have a lot of taste. But
Who is it? Is it Cal Penn?
No, John Cho. The other one.
Okay. It's Harold or Kumar.
It's Harold. It's Sulu.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It's Henry Wu's long lost son.
Oh man, but that ukulele thing. Oh my god.
The one who didn't go work for Obama.
I do make down. Yes. Make downs are my thing.
Yeah, make down or make unders.
Make
unders are my thing.
Oh my god, can you believe that?
Okay. Moving on.
He's like, you don't even need to know where I had to put my cell phone or something.
Oh yeah, you know. No cell phones, though. You can't bring cell phones to a wedding. There might be an emergency where you die, but you can't have a cell phone.
It's pretty not great. Do you know it was from the Suburgatory Lady?
I could.
That's
you know
what I thought made it interesting.
What's funny about it is
I know
is
you
like
Suburgatory a lot, Jace.
And halfway through, I was like, this looks like Suburgatory, but it's like the opposite of it. It has the same tone, but boy, it is not
falling
it at all.
For the trap they were making fun of originally.
I feel like this was a thing that who does this? ABC?
Yes,
I think ABC was like, we need someone to make a remake of My Fair Lady, and will you do it? Because we're going to cancel your show. So she did the Jason Kadam thing where, like, I'll take this challenge of something stupid and make it good, and it just didn't work.
Well, okay.
He's made stupid things. Like, he made Parenthood work. That's a champion. I mean, holy shit.
I do wonder at what point the My Fair Lady thing entered in, because boy, like,
it just seems like the studio was like, let's do a,
because like the target audience for this is not gonna know what the fuck My Fair Lady is.
Yeah. That's I guess why they just feel like it doesn't matter. I mean, ABC's great at like taking movies and making TV shows based on movies. That's what they love to do. Like Castaway when they made Lost,
or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, that too.
But yeah, it was pretty not good. Anybody watch How to Get Away with Murder?
No, I didn't.
What the fuck is that?
Apparently it's a comedy.
I didn't know what it was.
I think it has, well, it doesn't have Viola Davis in it. It has, crap.
Octavia Spencer.
Is it Octavia Spencer?
No, Octavia Spencer is in Red Band Society.
Okay, so then Viola Davis is in How to Get Away with Murder.
Yes.
You have to forgive me. I spent the entire month watching WCW from the 90s. I almost...
Pictures of Pepe the Chihuahua.
Pepe the Chihuahua. I love my pictures of Pepe the Chihuahua. He's the greatest.
Anybody watch the first two Sleepy Hollows?
Not yet. I need to get caught back up on Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, boy.
I watched the first one, but I haven't watched the second one.
They're fucking crushing it on that show.
They are. It's good.
Like, the best thing I've seen on TV in a year was, like, sexy headless horseman walking around with a shirt on. It was incredible.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to go back on this show.
These rippling abs and these huge pectorals with, like, a bloody stump above them. I was just, this show's amazing.
That's awesome.
Like,
that's awesome.
Anything else?
That's great. There's Franklin. Ben Franklin's in it, right?
Oh, yes. They make a Benjamin Franklinstein.
You can't wait.
Franklinstein's monster. Yeah,
Franklinstein. They make a Ben Stein.
But not, not that.
The guy that plays Franklin. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
As Ben Franklin?
No.
That would be awesome.
Just the actor. He was on West Wing, Michael.
There were about 3,000 people on that show.
No, he was the reporter that.
From that Sinbad movie.
I don't know about that.
He's the Secret Service guy.
First kid.
He was the bad Secret Service. He was the guy with red hair, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the guy from that movie, Chris.
I've never seen who First talking about. Kid.
The guy, Danny or whatever.
He's been culturally deprived of the wonders of First Kid.
The guy that was the...
Timothy Busfield.
Yeah, Timothy Busfield, the guy that was the control room guy in Studio 60.
Sure, I know him from First Kid. He's the villain.
He's Ben Franklin?
Yes.
That's fucking awesome.
Do you remember the movie... Oh, what was that other movie he was in? Where the kid owns the Minnesota Twins?
He's also in the movie that's set in Corbin that's coming out in October.
Minor League?
No.
Big League?
No.
Little Big League?
Little Big League.
Little Big League.
He was the main baseball player in that.
Yes.
He was the love interest in that.
Sleeping with his mom.
Yeah. It's awesome. Those are the movies.
You had to remember the distinction between Little Big League and Rookie of the Year is that one of them owns it and the other one plays it.
Oh, and then Angels in the Outfield, where they don't do anything, they just see angels.
They're mascots.
Right. All in one year. Although, to be fair, Little Big League is the best of those.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't think little I really
Rookie
like
of the
that
Year
movie.
Has Richard's got a big butt.
I like
right?
Little Big League, but I like Rookie of the Year better.
Rookie of the Year's dorky. I always thought Rookie of the Year was stupid even when I was a kid. I thought it was dorky as fuck.
Well, aren't you advanced?
Yes, I was. I thought Little Big League was really cool.
Look at you.
Well, fuck you, motherfucker. Hey. They had that great play where like they pretended to hit the ball and he was like under the chair looking for it. He's like, holy shit, and then they steal the base. That was the greatest play ever. That's awesome.
Speaking of which, Kenzel, did you watch the Kentucky game last night?
Oh, I was at the Kentucky game last night.
Oh, that explains so much.
Oh, is that why your voice is all messed up?
No, I was already getting sick.
Oh, well, that explains even much more.
Why?
Well, because if he was already getting sick and it was about 45 degrees out there last night and he was screaming. Well, he was going from probably being pissed off to yelling death threats at referees to screaming bloody murder whenever this ridiculous trick play actually worked.
Chris, you want to
what kind of game was this? A tennis match?
Football.
I couldn't yell.
What? I don't fucking know.
It's awesome. It's a tennis match.
I couldn't yell. That was the problem.
Is that what
15
you did?
Love fuckers!
You're John McEnroe now?
That was a hell of a game, though.
Who did they fight?
That was a fault, you cocksucker!
South Carolina.
Was it as good as Little Big Leagues?
Huh?
Was it as good as Little Big Leagues?
Yes.
It was pretty close.
It was something
but
like...
But not as good as First Kid.
Oh, my God, First Kid. You can't wear those stupid ties. He's got, like, a big, ugly...
I know a movie that's better than First Kid.
What?
Blank Check.
Oh, well, I like Blank Check. It's different. First Kid sucks,
different, huh?
But First Kid is better because it's so stupid. Blank Check is ridiculous, but it still ends up being.
Why is that awesome castle with the slide that goes in the big slide from his room?
You remember when he made that computer program to like talk to people on the phone that sounded way more advanced than Siri does?
Well, because it didn't have to be real, Jace.
Oh, I know. It was great. It was awesome. It's awesome.
I don't know. I guess that's probably it for TV stuff. We've been watching Boardwalk, and it's been different.
Yeah, it's not been great.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
The last episode was the best one so far. I really liked it. The previous two,
I liked the first
one. The first one were bits and pieces I liked, and it was uneven.
I like all the flashback stuff.
I haven't, and not the first episode, but I liked the monitor went down, so the light came down. I've really been liking the flashback stuff from the last episode. I thought was really good. Like, I really liked that story. I thought that was awesome. And I liked it before with the sister and all. So
him meeting the girl that is his first wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And whose name I can't recall.
Yeah, I can't
at the
remember
moment.
Her name either. She says that weird
was
thing.
Was it Mavis?
Mavis, yeah.
No.
Mavis?
I don't know.
Mavis Beacon taught me how to type.
Oh, my gosh.
Mario taught me how to type. And Miss Me.
What taught me how to type? I don't know. I'm a teacher.
Yeah, I think the typing class teacher had helped a lot.
Probably Miss Monroe.
But,
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, I don't really know what else is going on. Like, I wasn't really planning on watching any of the new stuff, except I figured I would give Gotham a shot.
I'm watching every Halloween Havoc from WCW for the month of October.
Wow.
All four of them?
There are 11.
Holy shit. WCW was around for 11 years?
89 to 2001.
All right. Wow. So they missed
but
a year,
they went out. No, they went out of business before Halloween Havoc 2001. See?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah. I see now. I see.
Yep.
Quite a reveal.
Yeah. It was around a while. But, I mean, there's now, since WCW has died, been more time between now and then than WCW existed. And, in fact, TNA has been around longer. WCW was.
Anybody managed to watch anything from the past couple of weeks movie-wise? Because I know it's been a while since we've covered anything, mostly because there hasn't been anything out.
Yeah,
no, I haven't watched a single movie.
Watched a lot of trailers.
I wanted to go watch Gone Girl, but I didn't get to watch it.
You should, Chris, before people spoil the shit out of it.
Apparently, I need to go watch Gone Girl.
You should.
Everyone should watch Gone Girl. It's awesome.
What do you mean spoil the shit out of it? It's a book.
Yeah, but
you want to...
It's like how you know the ending of Gravity, because there's only two ways it could end.
Okay.
And yet, like, the first day it went out, these old ladies came by, and they're like, did you think that she was going to survive to the end of the movie? And I was like, I didn't have a chance to watch it yet, but I had a thought that she might.
Let the movie take you for a ride. It's great at it.
And Kinzel, by point, it is a book, so you won't know what the story is.
Good point, Michael.
Yeah.
I'll read the book after I watch the movie.
Ha ha. It like went 77 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list.
Something. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, I don't know. It was a great movie, and it was very, very...
was a great movie.
Clever and riveting. I think what I told my sister was, like, this was one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. When we got out.
Well, not a date movie. Repeat.
Blaine and Erica went and watched it.
Yeah, Zach said that.
And Erica went and watched it. And
yeah, we actually ran into them on the way out.
As you all were walking out, and they told me later, they were like, we tried asking them, like, how's the movie? And they couldn't really say anything. And then Blaine and Erica said whenever they walked out of the movie, it was 10 minutes before they could even talk to each other.
Which I just find is the greatest, because I mean, absolutely what I imagine.
Peter Travers said it was the date movie of the decade or something.
Well, that explains his entire romantic life.
What ex-wife is he on now? 7?
God, probably. Dang. Who could stand him?
But yeah, that's what Zach said from Anime News Network or whatever. He said on Twitter to someone who asked if the movie was good, is it, how should I watch it? Date movie? Solo? And he was like, all caps, not a date movie. Repeat, not a date movie.
Movie's really good. It kicked off Oscar season.
It did. I'm curious to see what's going to come out and challenge it, except the only thing I can think of right now is...
Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher.
Yeah, Foxcatcher's still top of the heap.
What about Interstellar?
We'll see. I actually get the impression that people are going to really fucking hate Interstellar.
I do too. I get that feeling. Right after Rises, like, that's when the backlash happened. So I think it's going to be in full effect here.
I don't know. I like that trailer. I mean,
I'm hyped for it. I'm very excited. I think people are going to hate it because it's the first one of his movies that seems like it's going to deal with, like, real emotions.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah.
I would really like to find a place that's going to show it in 70 millimeter.
I love that poster that says in 35 millimeter and or 75 millimeter and 35 millimeter film. And I was like, yes, in 35 millimeter film and two places on Earth.
The places that have it, though, are getting it early.
Oh, are they now?
They're getting it 2 days early.
Well, maybe I'll try and get suspended again so I can go watch it.
Will you tell me this story when we're not recording?
I'll tell you it right now.
Okay.
Fuck it.
Dude, what do I care? What are they going to do, fire me? I said way worse shit about Movie Tavern and I was working there.
This is very true.
Like, so apparently, like, I was not friendly and did not smile or greet or thank or ask for a rewards card from our mystery shopper in box office.
Mystery shopper.
Yeah, because you know those are trustworthy. And they were profoundly offended that I did not try to pimp our card to them, nor did I seem very friendly. Which, you know, that's super subjective. But you can see on the camera footage where I'm talking to them for about 45 seconds, and you can see me nod my head and I hand them their money back. So, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I thank them, because I thank even the people that are assholes. In fact, I go out of my way to thank the people that are assholes most of the time. But this person was lying. They said they got there at 6:38. Their movie started at 6:50. When they actually arrive, according to the camera footage, is 7:07.
Good Lord.
Yeah, so they were 20 minutes late to their movie, basically. So yeah, I'm not trying to sell them anything. And yeah, I am kind of like a dick to people that are late to movies because... Meh.
Yeah. Well, and here's my big thing about the whole thing is that, you know, whenever we got mystery shopped at Best Buy, they always made a big deal about you're never supposed to get in trouble for a bad mystery shop. It's supposed right. to be a coaching thing. The only bad mystery shop that you should get in trouble for was the M-rated games policy,
right. one,
which would be just like carding somebody being under
hell on earth,
you know, 17. just to be suspended for a mystery shop just seems like the craziest thing ever.
It is a major violation of work law, from what I understand, yes. because it's not anywhere in the employee handbook from where I've been able to discover. And this entire thing reminds me of that one brief, beautiful summer where I was a manager at Amstar, and they told me that I had customer complaints, and that's why they were moving me out for the boss's best friend.
Yeah, yeah, customer complaints.
And I kept asking for the customer complaints, and they could never show them to me. Ever. Like, I still never saw them. And, like, the reason for that is they don't exist, and our local corporate tool, this fat, irritating... basically, like, he's everything you hate about older, entitled, wealthy white people. He just backed Marcus's play on that because Marcus was essentially, like, his surrogate son because he's one of these old southern dudes that thinks he's less of a man because he only ever had daughters.
It's Hannah Montana, y'all.
Yeah, Hannah Montana, y'all. I'm a piece of popcorn. Eat me. Eat me. Oh, my God. Jack is such a fucking weirdo.
God, I know. Oh, my God.
You know, I would almost be tempted to tell you to call Kentucky's Department of Labor.
I might, because I'm going to get more out of them than I would Human Resources. Like, I actually talked to someone in Human Resources from where, like, one of the managers slapped a kid in the face hard enough to knock his sunglasses off.
What?
Yeah. She's like, did you see it happen? And I was like, yes, I did, actually. And I can tell you everything about it. Who did it, why they did it, why it happened, and what time of day it was. Even where you can look on the camera footage. And it's on the camera footage. I saw it.
Probably not anymore.
Yeah, nothing ever happened to that chick until she later got this canned for having a relationship with one of the non-managers. So,
yeah, I mean, seriously, I would call Department of Labor because that's actually, you're losing money because of that. And it's not in the handbook. And unless they can bring up something where you signed off saying you understand that if you do poor enough on a mystery shop that they can suspend you for X amount of days...
Yeah, it's not like I gave them the double bird and told them to go fuck themselves.
I feel like that, yeah, you they should be paying you for
perhaps
this.
Perhaps I should have.
Man, you'd be the next Steve Austin. Crash in and stun her.
And here's the thing.
I want to see Richard slam two beer cans together.
Throw them out at the audience.
He's got Coke everywhere.
The thing is, like...
No ice.
Kim is still in that naive period of, like, middle management where they kind of got boosted up higher than they probably should for the amount of experience they have. So they're willing to take any kind of carrot that home office gives them, and they'll do anything to get that carrot. And in this case, getting that carrot is having over a 94% ranking on the mystery shops, I think. 95% maybe. Because if they make that average, then she gets to go to Show West every year in Las Vegas, which is like the big convention for theater managers to see upcoming stuff, and you get to schmooze with like celebrities. I know Richard Armitage was at it this year, I think, or maybe last year. I don't know. They show off a bunch of stuff for the theater companies, like mostly buyers, which, you know, it is kind of a bribe in that instance, because it's not like Kim's ever going to be buying, like, what style of theater seat goes in the next Amstar. Like, it's just, she's not.
Yeah, no, I would give a call to them. I really would, because that's losing income. That's essentially wage theft.
John Dennis said as much as well. So I'm, you know, I don't know. Ultimately, I like Kim, but at the same time, she's allowing, like, you know, the fascist rat race policies of, you know, corporate toolism. Like, she's letting those systemize her into becoming someone who, like, denies, like, their essential humanity and knowledge of someone that she's familiar with from 3 years of working with them.
How long did you get suspended for?
A week. A week that's starting on Wednesday and running through next Thursday, actually. But I worked my Wednesday shift because they weren't even, like, brave enough to inform me that I wasn't allowed to. So when I showed up in uniform, Jose didn't send me home because he didn't know anything about it. And that's when we looked at the camera footage, because when I came in and looked on the schedule, I was like, why are all my shifts whited out? So, yeah, they let... Jose didn't know anything about it until he was like, wait, maybe it's because of this mystery shop thing. So I was never actually informed of it.
Oh, yeah, dude. You gotta...
Departmental labor.
Oh, guys, it gets better, though. So Chris was their server in concessions, which Chris is a tall, lanky, thin, homosexual African-American boy with big braces. Mm-hmm. And they kept referring to him on the mystery shop as a she. And nobody thought, ha-ha, like, or wait, everyone apparently thought, ha-ha, Chris is a girl. No, they thought, like, why did they think Chris is a girl?
Or they weren't paying attention, or weren't there.
Yeah, it turns out that Grace, one of our other employees, had taken Chris's name tag and like because she forgot hers. Well, no one thought to look on the cameras and see why they were saying
good
she.
God.
Which Grace is the worst employee we have. Like,
well, that was like one time I was getting coached on a mystery shop at Best Buy, and I was like, so when was this? And they were like, blah blah blah, and I was like, let's go to my schedule. How about this? I wasn't even working that day. And they just put Michael down because they had talked to me before over the phone. And whenever they came in, I forget who they were getting helped by, but it was somebody from not even working in appliances. They just got pulled back there because I wasn't there.
It was probably me.
No, it was after you left.
Chris, okay. Don't look. There's no way, because it doesn't matter what department you try to sell them on a bunch of fucking bullshit no matter what. You just talk their ear off
after you had
protection
left.
Plans. But, dear God, you're the biggest shill ever. No one's going to say that about you, Chris Kenzel.
But yeah, it was...
And, can I say I was good?
You know, and, but even then,
credit
I wasn't...
where it's due.
They were like, well, you're not in trouble. And I'm like, I don't care if I'm in trouble or not. I'm just like, don't coach me on stuff I'm not doing. Because this wasn't me. So, yeah, I seriously, I mean, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that's unethical and illegal, in my opinion. Unless they had you sign some sort of bullshitty little piece of paper that said...
He was never officially suspended, they just...
Yeah, they never had me sign anything that says I acknowledged I'm being suspended or anything
like
that.
Oh, Richard.
Kim's actually, like, on vacation this week.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, though. This is going to be really important. You know how I said Grace was like the worst employee ever? Uh-huh. Grace has two write-ups for poor work performance and concessions. This will be her third. Mm-hmm. If she's not if she's suspended, it will be a suspension and a write-up for her, which means she is fired. I don't think they're going to fire her. And if they don't, then that means that this is all just bullshit and fairy dust and lies and fakery, which is what it is, because you can't just say, like, well... This person said that you didn't do, like, the best job you could, and this threatens my ability to go on vacation at the end of the year, so I'm going to suspend you as a lesson to the others. When I actually asked Justin about it, manager Justin, because I came in and I was like, hey, did you guys look at that camera footage and obviously see me thanking this person and, like, greeting them and talking to them for an extended amount of time and not just being, like, a curt, brusque asshole who wanted nothing to do with them? Like, I may put my hand up over my face, but that's because, like, box office faces the setting sun. And it's, like, even with my sunglasses, my prescription sunglasses that I basically only got, because I never wear sunglasses almost ever. So I could be in box office without losing any more of my eyesight. Like, even then, like, the sun is just this blazing, inescapable nightmare explosion of radiant fury. It raises the temperature of box office 15 degrees at starting at about 455 every day. You walk in there and it's 103 degrees on a cool day. It is obscene. I've actually really gotten angry at one of my coworkers for not ever turning the air conditioner on when she's about to leave. Because you go in there and you can't breathe. But if they don't fire Grace, that means it's all just like a big fucking lie. So,
well, and that's why I would say go ahead and get DOL involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'd make a stink about it.
Oh, I'm gonna. Like, Justin said there was a precedent for it because they had actually suspended Chris for it one time before, and I was like, well, there was a precedent for slavery in this country when they ratified the Constitution that didn't necessarily make it okay. Like, he was not happy about that, and I was like, you know, I mean, you could just say you're following orders, like, you know, all those concentration camp officers did when they were murdering innocent people.
He threw down the Nazi card.
Whatever. Like, I mean, I basically called them fascists right there. Mm. Like, Jose was the only manager to offer me any sympathy, which really, really pisses me off. Because at one point, I was Darren's boss. So I should at least have a little bit of, like, oh, yeah, like, I don't agree with this at all from him. Instead of, like, oh, I don't know anything about it. Like, oh, man, they got another one. And, you know, that's fine.
that was the greatest perfect, thing Chris. Ever. Because Richard had this perfect shrug, his hand locked, and whenever his hand locked.
It's pretty good. It's very appropriate. But, you know, I don't know. It's like where we had that one meeting about, why aren't you guys friends with Janice? And it's because we recognize Janice is like a manipulative snake that's taking advantage of the fact that you have no social life outside of working at the theater, Kim, and using, like, her friendship with you in order to exert power on everyone else. Like, duh. Like, what other way do I need to express that to you? And then she quit promptly when Jose got the manager slot and she didn't. Like, oh, wow, what a surprise. What an amazing chain of events that was so unexpected. So, I don't know. Kim's kind of green for what she's got, which is, you know, odd. Like, she was only ever, a department manager at Target. So, that was her previous theater work experience. You know, trust me, it's not like I want her job or anything. I know I would never be a good GM because I would, like, never be able to exploit people in the way that the corporate system in America requires you to.
Yep.
When you're middle management. Like, I just, you know, they would send us some nasty gram about, like, well, you guys should be doing this. Like, I think the latest piece of corporate bullshit was that Jack said we can't get tinting in the box office windows because it would prevent the customers from seeing our smiling faces.
This is different than we've heard.
Yeah. And constantly we get customers that say, wow, you really look like you're in pain. And I'm like, yeah, it's really bright in here.
I feel like dying.
Yeah, like, it's really, really hard to see. You know? And we have these monitors that are the only places where the movie times are, and the sun is so intense on them that the glare, you can't even read them now. So, but they need to see our smiling faces, which is impossible to smile when you have, like, an intense grimace from, you know, trying not to lose your eyesight. But really, that's like, well, I spent too many on corporate dinners this week, so yeah, you guys don't get anything. Sorry, I had to go take everyone, or I had to go take Eric, the district manager, to Malone's five times. But yeah, we'll see. So sadly, we must leave you guys, but in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do. Such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, @KinzelPhotos. you know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch, at Clinch Band, and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch, and also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find him on Twitter, at Engineer Nerd, and you can also listen to him on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, at Grey Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!